May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 669. Poor sinners, sunk in sin's tremendous cell, tormented with the fiery darts of hell, on Jesus' call, though wretched be your case, he came, the lost to seek and save by grace. Hymn 669.
Thank you. Let's read together from the Word of God, from two portions of Scripture. First, the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 17. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, and the first 15 verses. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honourable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came hither also, and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and received a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed. And they departed. Now please turn to the first epistle to the Thessalonians, and chapter 2, commence to read at verse 14 to the end of chapter 3. To 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoured the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow labourer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter, having tempted you, and our labour be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. And now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself, and our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. The Lord bless to us the reading of his word, and help and teach us to pray. kind and merciful and gracious Lord God, thy kindness and goodness and thy mercy indeed has been made known unto us each, where we're each favoured and spared, blessed with that sufficient health and strength to be found once again in thy courts on thy day. And thou hast spared us, Lord, and brought us through another week of time. And Lord, we come now desiring to enter into thy house with praise and thanksgiving for all the kindness and mercy and goodness bestowed upon us. But dear Lord, truly thy mercies are very great. They're new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. And oh, may we then be helped, dear Lord, of thee, to praise thy name for every mercy bestowed upon us. As we, Lord, look around others in this poor, dying world, Lord, are those things that they do not have, are those things, Lord, that we take for granted. Lord, we do then thank thee for all thy kindness to us. We bless thee, Lord, for it. Lord, as we think then of others in this world, the things they do not have, Lord, one of the things, why, Lord, for many of them is running water, clean, pure, running water. And yet, Lord, we here have abundance. And yet, dear Lord, there's been a cry of late, Lord, that particularly this part of our land is dry, is drought. But dear Lord, thou hast opened the windows of heaven this morning, and the rain descends, and we do thank thee for it. We pray, dear Lord, that it may indeed replenish the earth, that it may bring forth and bud. And that, dear Lord, that there may be that fruit for man and beast. And, dear Lord, we do ask and pray also that thy word may be as the same according to thy blessed promise, that as the rain cometh down from heaven and the snow from heaven so, and watereth the earth and returneth not thither, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but accomplish that whereto I am pleased to send it. Then, dear Lord, we pray that thy blessing to rest upon thy word read and thy word preached, so that, Lord, thy name is honoured and glorified. Then, Lord, we come thanking thee for every mercy, the things of providence as well as things of grace. Dear Lord, because there have been those times in thy house, those times, dear Lord, in affliction's path, Lord, those times deprived of meeting together with thy people, maybe detained in our homes or in a hospital bed, when, Lord, thou hast visited, when thou hast blessed thy word to our souls. Oh, and we thank thee, Lord, for these things. And we pray then that thou be with us now. We ask thee, dear Lord, then to be very gracious to us here this day. We are poor, needy sinners. And we seek, Lord, that thou wilt come and speak to our souls. Lord, thy word indeed may be as the bread of heaven to us. Lord, we cannot live long, Lord, in this world without we eat and drink. And dear Lord, we ask and pray that there may be also, Lord, some spiritual food for our souls this day. One said, a crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave, unworthy to be fed with dainties such as angels have, or with the children's bread. Then come, dear Lord Jesus, and meet with us and bless us. Oh, thou, dear Lord Jesus, has proclaimed that I am the bread of life. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, thou wouldest break the bread of life amongst us here this day, so that sinners go home blessed, go home like dear Ruth, having gathered a handful of purpose. Oh, we ask, Lord, then, that thou wilt feed our souls with the bread of heaven, with the water of divine life, so that, Lord, that we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus. We pray thou wilt help us. Be gracious to us then. Now, Lord, we bow our head before thee in confession of all our sin and all our iniquity. Oh, Lord, thou hast heard the prayer, the confession, Lord, in our opening hymn this morning. And, oh, dear Lord, thou knowest how many of us, Lord, looked at it and sung it. Oh, Lord, with a corresponding feeling in our hearts, thinking, saying, this is me. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, that thou hear prayer and that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, then to open the windows of heaven this day and pour out that blessing so that poor sinners, feeling their tremendous load of sin and guilt, go home, feeling that their sins are pardoned, forgiven, washed away in the blood of Jesus, in that fountain open for sin and uncleanness, to the house of David in the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Lord, how they come, praying then for mercy, come like the publican did into the temple. Oh Lord, they come into thy house this morning, smiting upon their own breast, fearing to look up, oh, crying from their very heart, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, and most of us, if not all of us, Lord, will know these words. But oh, we ask and pray, Lord, that they may come from our hearts. Because, Lord, they're not going to do us any good without they do come from our hearts. Then, dear Lord, do grant the work of thy Holy Spirit within us, so that, Lord, there is that genuine cry, that sincere cry, that sincere petition, that request up unto thee. Oh, dear Lord, then do meet with us as we bow down before thee at that blessed mercy seat, at the throne of grace, and find that grace to help in time of need, because that dear man did, because our dear Lord Jesus did say, and this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Then, Lord, may poor sinners know that they are indeed justified in the name of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Hear then our prayer. Now, Lord, remember each and all. Thou knowest how each one has come. Lord, come seeking a portion for their souls. Crying, show me some token, Lord, for God. Some token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. My supplication, Lord, is this: that all my sins may be subdued, that all thy precious promises may be to me and for my God. Then, dear Lord, do hear prayer. Oh, and send none, Lord, empty away. Any, Lord, that have come in like this, send them not empty away. And any, Lord, that have not come in like this, don't send them empty away either. Oh, that they too may know the prayer of the publican, and that they too may go, down to their house justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hear then our prayer. Now, Lord, we pray thou help us to pray one for another. We pray, dear Lord, for this church and congregation here. Do bless them each. Do bind them together in love and unity, the bond of peace. do make thy goodness pass before them, undertake for them, and abundantly bless them. Oh, dear Lord, may they come up to thy house with a true spiritual appetite, with their soul on the stretch to find Christ, with a cry of poor Job, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even unto his seat. Oh, pressing forward toward the mark of the prize of the high corn of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. Then meet with them, Lord, and do bless them, seeking souls. Oh, because thou hast said, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Then do appear, do reveal thyself to seeking souls, as thou didst to dear Simeon. Oh, and it, why, and what a blessing he had. Oh, now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. May that be, Lord, the blessed case of each seeking soul here this day, that they may say, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh, that Jesus then may be revealed to their souls, the hope of eternal glory. Better less then, Lord, them here. Do bless them together. Do bind them in love and unity in the bond of peace. May thy goodness pass before them in the way. And Lord, and thou knowest about each and every one. Lord, we lovingly commend them all to thee. There's children, we pray for them. Thou wilt bless them in their childhood, in the days of youth. Oh, that they may have that good thing in their heart to the Lord God of Israel. That they may be, oh, found praying unto thee. May well be, Lord, that they are taught by the parents that simple, sweet little prayer, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Look upon a little child, pity my simplicity, and suffer me to come to thee. Then, dear Lord, we ask that they may not only be taught it by their parents, but they may be taught, Lord, it by the blessed Holy Spirit, so that they come to thee, pleading Jesus' name, oh, and laying all their cares at thy feet. Do then help them. Then, Lord, there are others here and there, and knowest the burdens of one and another that they carry, those things, Lord, those crooked things that they desire to be made straight, undertake for them each. We do pray, lovingly, Lord, for one, Lord, that will be with her in her time of need. And Lord, and do give life and spare life, and do bring her through. And pray, dear Lord, that ere long there will be another little soul here in this house of God, oh, to praise thy name for, and to pray for their soul, to pray that thou wilt bless them, oh, to be born into this world, only to be born again by the Holy Spirit of our God. Then do remember her and bless, and do help them. And Lord, we ask thee to remember any others, Lord, in sickness and affliction's path, put thy hand and heal and restore and raise up to health and strength, we beseech thee. Those comfort those that mourn. There are thy people here and there, Lord, that mourn the loss of near ones and dear ones, as we think of the family of the late Mr. Haddo. Lord, be with them. Oh, and may their father's God be their God. Bless his dear widow. Help the children. And oh, may their father's God be their God. We pray then that thou be gracious, Lord, to each and all. There are others, Lord, that are in deep affliction's path. We pray thy healing hand and restoration to be granted to them. And there are others, Lord, that mourn. We pray thou remember the widows and the widowers, those who have lost near and dear ones, mother, father, brother, sister, sometimes a child. Undertake for each and all, we pray. Be with then all that are laid aside this day. Thou knowest those, Lord, that would love to be in thy house, but because of age and infirmity and afflictions, they're unable to do so. Then do be with them. Undertake for them. We think of, Lord, some of thy servants that are laid aside, unable to go and preach because of affliction. Oh, Mr. John Brougham, Mr. Philip Mercer, remember them each, Lord. And there may be others, but dear Lord, do then be good unto each. Now help us to pray for our nation. Oh, deliver us from wicked and unreasonable men. Frustrate their intentions, we beseech thee. Overturn their evil designs. And oh, that may be, oh, peace, Lord, and morality maintained in this, our land. Gracious Lord, do hear prayer for others in the world that suffer in need and poverty, where there's war and bloodshed, have mercy and bring peace, we pray. And Lord, we just think of two particularly of thy servants. There's our friend, Mr. Brian Izzard, that goes to Australia tomorrow, if thy will. And there's our friend, Mr. Stephen Hyde, that goes to Pakistan on Thursday. And Lord, and particularly for him, he needs thy care, thy keeping, and thy watching overhand. Because, Lord, there in that land, there are so many, Lord, that hate Christians, that hate the truth of the Bible. And we pray, dear Lord, thou stand by him and stand with him and undertake for him, preserve and keep him, and bring him back home in peace and safety at the appointed time. Hear then our prayers, pardon our every sin, accept our humble thanks. And now, Lord, here's a poor man, and this poor man, Lord, needs thy help. Oh, we ask and pray, dear Lord, thou wouldst draw near to us and be our helper this day. Lord, do come, fulfill thy gracious word, thy blessed promise. Thou hast said, I will never leave thee nor forsake. Open one's mouth, touch my lips with that live coal from off that heavenly altar. So we pray, the dear one who cried, Lord, help me. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 762. How soft the words my Saviour speaks, how kind the promises he makes. A bruised reed he never breaks, nor will he quench the smoking flax. Hymn 762. Thank you.
in dependence upon Thee, Lord, all needed help. I ask Your very prayerful attention to First Epistle Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 3 and verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed there unto. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed there unto. The church at Thessalonica was one of the first, if not the first, that the dear Apostle Paul, by the help and the aid of the blessed Holy Spirit, established. We read there in the Acts of the Apostles how he went to Thessalonica and how he preached there. Oh, and he preached, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And why he had the word then, as the apostle preached, had the same blessed, gracious effect that it did then as it does today. And some of them believed. And some of them believed. And the effect of the others was, but the Jews which believed not moved with envy. May I lovingly ask you, which category do you come in? Which category are you found? Are you amongst them, some believed? Or are you amongst them that believe not? There are only two places of eternity. Yes, you've heard it before. But what does the Apostle Peter say? Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them. I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of all these things, though ye know them. You know there's heaven, and you know there's hell. The wicked, yes. Those that believe not, are there in Acts chapter 17, yes. That moved with envy. You may not move with outward envy against God's people, but do you move inwardly in your heart with envy against God? Do you say, in effect, I will not have this man to reign over me? sad, solemn cases. But you know, oh, that the blessed Holy Spirit may graciously work, and convince of sin, and lead such to the blessed Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Whilst, dear soul, whilst there is life, there is hope. And there's hope, dear soul, for your poor never dying soul. Yes, that you too, you and I, all of us, may bend the knee before Almighty God, and we may be wrought upon, wrought by the Holy Spirit of God, may be convinced of our sin, and may be brought to believe. Yes, brought to believe that after all, there is something in this religion. You know, the dying thief on the cross at Calvary, he didn't believe until his last hours here on this earth. Now then, I hope none of you will say, well, that's good, that's fine, that suits me, I can go on then, living as I do and enjoying life, and then at the last I can fall in and say I'm sorry and I shall be accepted and received. There were two dying thieves. One repented, one didn't. And dear soul, and how do you know? And how do you know that you're going to have time to repent? When we hear sometimes of one and another suddenly being taken out of this poor dying world. Yes, removed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, cast out of this world. No time for repentance. No time to call on God. No time to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We don't know that we're going to get that time. Then, sinner, think. Think just where you are. Think just where you stand. Let's go back to the first part of the Bible. Genesis chapter 3. And there you've got the first man and woman that ever lived on this earth, Adam and Eve. And God told them that they were not to eat of the tree, the fruit of the tree, in the centre of the garden. And you are probably fully aware that Eve was tempted of the devil, of the serpent, and she ate of the tree, the fruit of the tree in the centre of the garden. And having done so, and see that it was good, she gave it to her husband Adam, and he did eat as well. And then they realised that they were naked. Then they got some fig leaves together and sewed them together to cover their nakedness. Then they went and hid themselves amongst the trees. And then they heard the voice of the Lord God. Up to this point, they had never feared meeting God. But they had now disobeyed. And yes, and God knew where they were. God knew where they were. And God knows where you are, sinner. And what did God say? He said, Adam, where art thou? He confesses, I was afraid and I went and hid myself. Dear soul, pause my soul and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian? Washed in thee, Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the church's living head? You can read that hymn at your leisure, 698. And you'll find some more questions down that hymn. But then there's the last verse. Oh, that no one in here will be found in that last verse at last. But if still a total stranger to his precious name and blood, thou, nobody else, nobody else, thou art on the brink of danger. Canst thou face a holy God? Think and tremble. Death is now upon the road. Friends, I can honestly say I had no thoughts of speaking as I have done so far this morning. I had no thoughts of it whatsoever. But you see, God's servants are not their own. They're in the Lord's hand. And he prompts them. And he causes them to deliver his word. His word that shall not return unto him void, but it shall accomplish that whereto I am pleased to send it. Oh, I pray, I beg that these things may indeed be the Lord's word, and that prove that he is the blessed author of it, and that it doesn't return unto him void, but accomplishes what he pleases. That it brings a sinner to Christ. That it brings a sinner to cry, God, be merciful to me. That it brings a sinner to say, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And dear soul, whilst yes, you may tremble perhaps, or that it may be so, that you tremble at the things that you've heard thus far this morning. But dear soul, if that's the case, is, oh, you'll also, in days to come, dear soul, you will rejoice. You will rejoice that he caused you to stop in that mad and wild career. It'll be, this is what you're saying, what you're saying. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to save my soul from danger, interpose his precious blood. Oh, yes, and dear soul, and you'll not forget this day. Why? Because it'll be the day that God quickened you into divine life. It'll be the day that the Lord commenced a blessed work of grace in your soul. You know, this text, this book here, has much to do with the dear Apostle Paul. And if you know your Bible at all, you will know. Again, back here in the Acts of the Apostles, what was Saul doing? Breathing out threatenings of slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And there he is, walking on his road to Damascus. And suddenly there is a great light. There fell, and he fell to the earth. He heard a voice. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And he goes, he comes into the city. And there the Lord has one of his servants. That servant's name was Ananias. And this is what would be said. Oh, it could be said of perhaps some poor soul here this morning that goes home from this chapel so differently to how they came in unconcerned, but go home like this. And there's a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. The Lord said, arise, go into the city which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Here was the blessed Lord God, yes, speaking to his servant that here this man, yes, would come into Damascus to bind men and women and cast them into prison. He's changed. The Spirit of God has shone upon him, shone into his dark heart. Reveal unto him Christ, that he and he alone is the Saviour of sinners. And he turns unto God, unto godliness. And oh, why, what a great blessing this poor man proved to be. Yes. When the Lord took him in hand, when the Lord changed his heart, when the Lord worked that work of grace, Why, yes, much of the Acts of the Apostles. You could say are the Acts of the Apostle Paul. And here he is in Acts chapter 17. Oh, yes, risen, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. This Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Why, Timotheus? Why, he was sent to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Ah, yes, establishing to comfort you concerning your faith. And why, and he would have done exactly the same as the Apostle Paul did here. Yes, and whom I preach unto you, that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And oh, and this poor man here this morning, he too desires to preach unto you that this Jesus whom I preach is Christ, is the Saviour of sinners. Yes, dear soul, and before you say, but I'm too bad, too black, too filthy, too wretched, listen to what this blessed Jesus says. I came to seek and to save the lost. He said, all that the Father give me shall come, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise cast out. Come then, repenting sinner, come. Oh, what thou wilt, the total sum is cancelled by his death. The vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Yes, the very worst of the worst. Oh, friends, and the Apostle Paul regarded himself to be the worst of all sinners. And in his blessed, glorious letter to his son Timothy in the faith, what does he say to him? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's how he felt. Of whom I am chief. But he preached that Jesus came to save sinners. Oh, friends, why one can preach to sinners, one finds it impossible to preach to saints. Oh, can preach to sinners, but not saints. Oh, sinners. Oh, sinners that feel their need of a Saviour, of a Redeemer. Oh, your need, dear soul, is great. It may well be. It is. You need mercy. You need salvation. You need Jesus Christ. You need him to speak to your poor, never dying soul, to assure your conscience of his part in his redeeming blood. And you come. Yes, oh, poor though I am, despised for God, yet Jesus my Lord forgets me not. Oh, you say, well, how come? Because he bid you come. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Dear soul, there's no need for you to go home from this chapel this morning feeling there's no hope for your poor, never dying soul. There is. There's hope in Christ, dear soul, for poor, guilty sinners, for the vilest of the vile, for the worst of the worst. For he came, yes, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You take that home, dear soul. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Well, dear soul, you're not going to argue, are you, that you're not a sinner? Well then, dear soul, he came to call sinners to repentance. poor though I am, oh, this poor, wretched heart of mine. Oh, and you plead that the Lord would have mercy upon your poor, never-dying soul. Say, oh, yes, this prayer is squeezed, shall I say, is squeezed out of your heart, and you mean every word of it, every letter of it. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's not just something you've heard. It's something that you feel the weight and the burden that is within you, of all the wretchedness, of all your sin and iniquity, your transgressions, your sins past. Oh, yes, dear soul, do you look over your sins past? Ah, oh, yes, dear soul, and you say, can there be mercy for such a character as myself? Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, who retains not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy? Sinner, God delights in mercy. There are those, yes, poor people in this world, that think that God delights in sending sinners to hell. God does not delight in sending sinners to hell. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God takes pleasure in the death of them that fear him. Ah, yes. And as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. To establish you and comfort you concerning your faith. There's a poor soul that says, yes, shake your head. You say, I haven't got any faith. Well, dear soul, that's what you're saying. That's what you're saying, that you haven't got any faith. Let's just turn over a few pages of scripture here. And we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, a well-known chapter for some. And verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. You say, well, that's it. That's it. Done. Finished. The Bible doesn't stop there. The scripture doesn't stop there, dear soul. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that is, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Your prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You mean every word of it, don't you? Oh, you turn aside. Ah, yes. You go into the bedroom. You fall down on your knees. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And reward, you come to him. You come to him that he will reward. You believe, dear soul, that there can be mercy, can come from no other quarter than the dear Lord Jesus himself. It's got to come from him, and you believe it can come from him. And you believe, yes, deep down in your heart, that he can have mercy, that it may be, oh, you're not sure, perhaps, that may be so, you're not completely sure that he'll have mercy upon you.
Because the devil says you can't be saved. But the devil's a liar, poor soul. The devil's a liar. Yes, oh, yes. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Go back again to the publican in the temple. Why? He would not so much as lift up his eyes toward heaven. He smote on his breast. He cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But why did he come to the house of God? Why did he bend the knee before God? Because he believed deep down in his heart, deep down in his heart, that God could have mercy upon his poor, never dying soul. Ah, yes, dear soul. And I will in he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The vile, the base, the poor dependents of his grace, I will in no wise cast out. Yes, why then, dear soul, to establish you, comfort you concerning your faith? Well, I had no thoughts whatsoever speaking like this. In fact, I was very troubled with this text. I just thought, I don't know how I'm going to cope with it. But dear soul, you say again, say here, leaving these dear souls just for a moment, here there are others that have, yes, that have known something, that have known something of the Lord's mercy and kindness and goodness to them in time past. And they are to be established and comforted in their faith. Why, one thinks to the words here in the prophecy of Isaiah. Why, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours, and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and borders pleasant stones. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. And this, dear son, in righteousness shalt thou be established. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. What has the Lord said earlier? For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Yes, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem, and declare unto her that a warfare is accomplished, and she shall receive double for all her sins. A little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy upon thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. This is the waters of Noah unto me. As I sworn that the waters no more should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Why, what more can he say than to you he has said, you who under Jesus for refuge have fled? Why, again, what does the dear psalmist say? I waited patiently for the Lord, and inclined unto me and heard my cry. Listen, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He set my feet upon a rock. Dear soul, do you find that blessed rock to be Christ Jesus the Lord?
While the ground is sinking sand, my hope is built on nothing less save Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest name, but wholly lean upon his dear name. Establish you and comfort you concerning your faith. And oh, a poor man. He came into some deep troubles and trials and afflictions. Yes, with those near and dear to him. Oh, and he came down so low. And one evening, the poor man, he felt so low, so wretched, and he burst out into tears. Like Jacob, all these things are against me. The Lord's hand has gone out against me. And someone, again, near and dear, by the ties of nature, was there. And this dear soul, she went over to him. She knelt down at the chair where he was. She said, "But you are a forgiven sinner." Ah, oh, friend. It broke him all to pieces. Ah, pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus, kind and strong, pity joined with power. Oh, friends, yes, the adversary of our souls. Yes, he delights in sinking us low. Ah, yes, oh, a word in season. A word in season. Oh, spoken just at the right moment, just at the right time, the right influence, the right grace, the right love. But you're a forgiven sinner. Ah, comfort you concerning your faith. Well, this verse here speaks of affliction. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. These things that the dear apostle walked and passed through. Yes, why, there, you know, and we read them elsewhere, do we not, here in the Acts of the Apostles? Why, he gives us, the dear apostle Paul, he gives us a catalogue of those things that he walked and passed through, did he not? Yes, and dear soul, and there's this as well. Why, how, if none of these things move me, and neither count I my life dear unto myself, the things that happen unto me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. Oh, afflictions abound. Yes, the apostle Paul was sorely tried, was persecuted. Yes, was persecuted for the name of Christ. Well, it may be, I don't know. I can honestly say that. I know nothing about anybody in here. And why, yes, the Apostle Paul had cruel mockings, yes, and persecutions. And some of God's people, yes, why, they will know a greater depth of persecution than others. It may be persecuted in the workplace. But yes, dear soul, but here's God's servant. Oh, dear soul, and you come to God's house. Oh, yes, you may be established and comforted concerning your faith. That no man should be moved by these afflictions.
No man should be moved by these afflictions. Ah, you say the apostle was concerned, was he not? About what the dear Lord Jesus speaks about here. Where he speaks of the parable of the sower. There were those, that received the seed. They received it in stony places. The same as he that heareth the word with and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself. He endureth but a while. Tribulation and persecution arises because of the word. By and by he is offended. You say, the dear Lord Jesus speaks about these things as well as the Apostle Paul. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, becometh unfruitful. But he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringing forth some 30, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. Afflictions of body sometimes. But no man moved by these afflictions. But when other afflictions, not bodily afflictions, but troubles and trials, persecutions come into your path and mine, that you and I may be established in the faith with our feet upon that blessed, glorious rock, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Like the storm, dear soul, there was a poor man once, shipwrecked, I believe, on a boat, and he managed to get onto a rock. He said he trembled. He said, this rock never moved. This island, Christ never moves. He stands by his people. He stands by his people. He stands with his people. He holds their right hand, saying unto them, fear not, I will help thee. The Lord, it is that doth go before thee. He'll be with thee. He'll not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. They're nothing new. They're nothing new, dear soul. Afflictions, whether they're bodily afflictions or whether afflictions in circumstances, and as the apostle relates in the Acts of the Apostles, these here in Thessalonica, that had done him so much evil, had not a good word for him, and that's very hard to bear, is it not? When someone has not got a good word for you, to establish you, comfort you concerning your faith, that none of these, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. No man should be moved. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, set down at the right hand of the Father. This is what the apostle exhorts, my friends. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And now she'll hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Yes, why Hebrews 11 again? Why it's here, is it? By faith Moses, when he was born, hid 3 months. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Yes, oh, you're going to choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sinner, you and I, dear soul, are only in this world for a season. The Bible tells us man's days are 70 years and 10. It's a season. Oh, friends, why? And when you look at 70 years and 10, 70 years, what is that compared to eternity? What is that compared to eternity? Oh, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. No man should be moved by these afflictions. Yes, dear soul. Dear soul. Strengthen your faith. Dear soul. Has the Lord appeared to you in time past? Has he drawn near to you in this deep trial, whether it be bodily affliction or otherwise? And has he spoken to your inmost soul on that hospital bed? Dear soul, in that deep trial where the Lord graciously appeared, or makes the crooked straight and the rough place plain? That no man should be moved by these afflictions. That this may be the comfort of the Holy Spirit to our never dying souls. That the Lord speaks the word of his grace to poor dying sinners. This is the way, walk ye in it. For yourselves know. That we are appointed thereunto. But yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. What does the apostle say to us here in the Acts of the Apostles? Why, he says this to us, does he not? That we shall enter into heaven through much tribulation. The apostle says this. The dear Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ himself said this. Last verse of John 16, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Yes. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Ah, yes. Dear soul, establish and comfort you concerning your faith. Some of you would have known the late dear Mr. Quinton Palmer over at West Row. And some of you would know that he, a few years before he died, he had a serious breakdown. And there the dear man was in hospital. Oh, and everything was wrong. And he couldn't be saved. He felt lost. But, you know, one of God's servants said to him, the Lord would come. And the Lord did come. And the Lord blessed him. with these words to his never dying soul, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Comfort you, concern your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Ah, yes, dear soul. It'll be this, will it not? "My dust he'll raise, and glory he'll give, and I to his praise in heaven shall live. And there he'll deliver my soul from all fear, and to me forever the Lord will appear." Well, I must leave it.
Last Lord's Day were £745, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Field will address the Sunday School this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. Tomorrow evening, God willing, there will be a prayer meeting with an address by Mr. Robert Field, who will also preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, Dr. Sadler will preach and address the Sunday School in the afternoon, if the Lord will. We have here a petition to the government about marriage. The government has announced that it is to redefine marriage, and we as Christians strongly oppose this. A petition to the government has been drawn up which states, "I support the legal definition of marriage, which is the voluntary union for life of one man and one woman to the exclusion of all others. I oppose any attempt to redefine it." The petition is here at the front of the chapel, and we hope that everyone above the age of 16 will be willing to sign it. It will stay here until after next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 1036. "Seek ye my face," the Saviour cries. "My soul, where canst thou find supplies but in the Lamb for sinners slain, who has not shed his blood in vain?" Hymn 1036.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, be with us all. Amen.